I'm going to tell you three stories of the many qualities of Bente. Three stories around three of the many qualities of you, Bente. The first story, being unconventional. It's not difficult, I imagine, for any of us to associate you, Bente, with this quality of being unconventional in the true sense, especially with regards to the founding of our order and our community. You defied convention in the light of the realization of your ideals. You stripped everything back to essential dharma for this wasteland, 20th and 21st century. For being unconventional in this true sense, for that gift, Bente, I thank you. However, my first experience of the unconventional with regards to you, Bente, was far more of a mundane nature. It was when I met you for the first time as a new Mitra. It's June 1990, and I've just arrived from Spain, that famous place with the swimming pool that we heard about last night. I was living there. I'm staying around the LBC for 6 months, checking it all out. Well, it didn't take me long to ask for ordination and to visit you in your flat. I do not know what I had expected my future teacher to look like. But in any case, I received something like a shock. You opened the front door and walked ahead of me to the sitting room. No hands were shaken, which didn't quite stroke with my Dutch upbringing. And as I walked behind you, I took the opportunity to have a good look at you, I have to say. And oh dear. You were wearing similar slippers to the ones my father used to wear. What a disappointment. But not only that, your big toes were sticking out through holes in the front. And the back of the slippers was put down as if you couldn't be bothered wearing them properly. But that was not all. You were wearing an old woolen cardigan with rather, again, large holes at the elbows. Your hair looked uncombed, unwashed, and rather out of shape. It was late June and a warm summer's day, with the sun beating on the window pane. But to my amazement, not only were you wearing layers of clothes, including a woolen cardigan with holes, but on top of that, the fire was turned on. The heat in the room was unbearable. Well, at least for me, as I was already sweating from nervousness. My second visit, 2 years later, I'm sorry to say, wasn't much different. This time, you were wearing a striped shirt, a richly patterned tie, a jacket with a checked pattern, and rather old, unpolished looking shoes. The hair wasn't very different either, but no holes this time, neither in clothes nor in shoes. Whatever impression this way of dressing in a rather unconventional way made on me, it didn't stop me following your dharma. And in any case, the whole thing caught my imagination, and I thought, I'd give you a pair of slippers for your birthday without holes in them. Just to be sure. My second story. Your loyalty to your teachers. My friends seem to know me as someone who is loyal and devoted to you, and I have no reason to contradict this. However, dear Bente, it was you who planted the seed way back in that first meeting. It was a few months after the death of Dado Rinpoche, and I asked you whether you were missing your teachers, as only Secho Sangye Dorje was still alive. Your response was, "I don't feel out of contact with any of my teachers. I think of them nearly every day." That I found astonishing, and it planted a seed in me. There's hardly been a day in my life that my thoughts and heart have not turned to you. Despite the fact that I've only met you one-to-one twice in my life, I feel I've built up quite an intimate and personal relationship with you as my teacher, by having you in my life every day. It's above all through practicing the Kalyanamitra Yoga that you're really present in my life. In the survey, you wrote, "Deeds are thoughts made manifest and proclaim what has already been committed in the silent and secret chambers of the heart." In this way, the Kalyanamitra Yoga is for me a deed, expressing what's already present in the silent and secret chambers of my heart. For years, it's been my main meditation practice, and my favorite bit is the last line. "Finally, one invites Urgyen Sangharakshita and one's preceptors to take their places in one's heart." For me, this is an almost tangible experience and one that never fails to move me. One invites Urgyen Sangharakshita to take his place in one's heart. Of course I know that loyalty is essentially of the nature of being able to practice what one's teacher has taught. But on this occasion, I'm focusing on my love and devotion to you. And in any case, your presence in the Kalyanamitra Yoga and our tree of refuge and respect expresses for me your great service to us all by having given us the greatest gift, the essential Dharma for this wasteland, 20th and 21st century. For being loyal to your teachers, Bente, I thank you. Final story, a man with a vision. Once you had discovered your purpose in life, you've never wavered. Your life has been a single-minded working out of your realization that you were a Buddhist. And your life shows what a really determined and visionary man is capable of. You yourself wrote about your teacher, Khatchu Rinpoche. "My teacher was a visionary, and he acted on his visions. And I tell all of you this, my teacher is a visionary, and he acts on his visions." The story that follows is not so much mine as someone else's. It's April 2009, and I'm at the meeting of the Dutch Buddhist Union. Rob Jansen is nearly always there. He's in his mid-80s, a follower of Lama Govinda, and highly respected as a sincere Buddhist in Holland and Belgium. He is currently translating the whole of the Pali Canon into Dutch. I'm introducing myself to him as a member of the then still called WBO. He looks at me and says, "Ah, so your teacher is Sangharakshita." To which I wholeheartedly reply, "Yes." Then he asks, "How is he? I've heard about the deterioration of his eyesight." I give him a short update, to which he replies, "I used to call Sangharakshita a seer. Since I've heard of his eye troubles, I call him a blind seer." Final short story. It's a women's convention here at Wimden, and I'm looking after you a little. It's the last full day, and I'm asking you whether there is anything you still need before I hand you over to the man, you're saying, "Ha, Kashishuri, I would like one apple for breakfast tomorrow morning." Immediately it crosses my mind that I can't possibly come to my teacher's doorstep with just one apple in my hand. So I'm having rather large visions of a big fruit bowl with all kinds of exotic fruit hanging over it. Then you look at me whilst holding the handle of the front door, saying, "Just one apple, Akashishuri." What else can one do than to obey one's teacher? However, I thought I make up for it right here and now. And giving you a fruit bowl for your birthday, it hasn't quite survived the journey from Holland, but it will do. Thank you, dear Bente, for being unconventional, for being loyal to your teachers, and for being a man with a vision. Thank you for turning your life into a gift.